All right, grab your pen, your paper, and your Bible, and get ready for MBKI's Beta Mentoring with Apostle Anthony Baxter. Amen, amen. We want to welcome each and every person to Beta's Prophetic Mentoring Conference Line on MBKI Podcasting Network. Today is Friday, amen, and we thank God that it's Friday, but we also thank God, hallelujah, for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, amen. Every day that God gives us, hallelujah, to be able to make it a better day than the day before is always a blessing. Amen. Glory be to God. We're going to go ahead and play a little bit of music, allow you to get your heads right, get everything together. And hallelujah. He won't. He do it. God will do it. If you ask, you shall receive. He will do it. He's an on-time God. He's a God that will never fail us. Just ask. And he will do it.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it was die. But ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me. There's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, 'cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you. They gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? Oh, yes he will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out. It's only his lose it again. I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. I just call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, 'cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Need your whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses, 'cause they're always on time.
Without your spirit, everything is flesh, Father God. So we set aside Father God, flesh, and we open up the gates for your spirit to come in to this line, Father God, and move as only he can move, Father God. He is able to make all things new. He's able to restore. He's able to revive. He is able. Amen. Because he is God and God alone.
Neither ears have heard the things he's prepared for them who love him. Shut the lion's mouth for Daniel. If he parted the sea for Moses, what more will he do for them that believe and
each and every person once again to Beta Prophetic Mentoring Line on MBKI's podcasting network. I am your host, Apostle Anthony Baxter. Hallelujah. And I just want to Thank God for being God. Amen. He is able. Amen. How many of you know that he is able? There's things that we needed from him, and he was able to provide them for us. Some of us were stuck in the mud. Amen. He was able to free us from that place. Amen. Glory be to God. Some of us had gone through some very trying and hurtful times, but he was able to see us through those times in which we were in. Amen. We serve an awesome God, a God that is able to do all things. Hallelujah. All things according to his riches and his glory. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I just want to make a couple announcements here real quick. Amen. On Saturday, tomorrow, we will be giving out food on 208 and International Boulevard. So if you know of anyone that is in need of food, or if you are in need of food, just come on down, drive on up, open up your trunk, and let us fill it with some nutritious food. We have the USDA boxes, plus we'll have other good foods to add to that. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. On Monday, hallelujah, we will be giving out food on Rainier and Chicago. It's about a block up from Kenyon, amen, at the Emerald City Bible Fellowship Church, amen. So if you can't make it on Sunday, you can make it on Monday. The time on, or excuse me, Saturday. The time Saturday is from 11:30 until 2 p.m., amen. And on Monday, it is 3 p.m. till 6 p.m., and that's in the Rainier Valley area, amen. And on Tuesdays, from 11:30 to 2, we are located on Alaska Way in MLK, amen. Hallelujah. So we have three different locations in three different areas of King County, which we are feeding America through the goodness and abundance that the Lord has given us. Amen. So if you know anyone is in need of food, amen, let them know about World Changers, our nonprofit program that is giving out food in all of these locations. If you have any questions or concerns, please inbox me, or you can call our office line at 206-308-9745. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you for each and every person that is on the line on today. Father, we pray that all distractions will cease. Hallelujah. That they will allow their minds to come upon one accord. Hallelujah. And focusing upon your goodness and your glory and what it is that you are about to do upon this line through your daughter, your vessel, hallelujah, Minister Melinda. Glory be to God, Father God. So prepare the hearts and minds of your people, Lord God. I pray that your anointing will be stamped upon this episode. So those that listen to the podcast hours from now, days from now, weeks from now, even years from now, will feel the power that will be coming from this mighty woman of God as you download your word into her vessel and allow your spirit to bring it forth. We thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we pray. Amen and amen. So, hallelujah. I want to take some time to just introduce this mighty woman of God. She, you know, you always know when somebody is anointed because they go through a lot. Amen. Because God is preparing us through the trials and tribulations that we go through to strengthen us. Amen. Hallelujah. We go through a lot of pain. We go through a lot of sadness. We go through a lot of loneliness. But it's only building us up to be the great people that God has called us to be. And I have seen her go through many different obstacles, but she always leans upon the Lord. Amen. She's always praying and asking God for direction and things of this nature. Amen. And it's just an honor to call her our spiritual daughter and see all the things in which are transpiring in her life. So for those of you who don't know and those of you who do, I'd like to introduce Minister Melinda to everyone. Woman of God, it's your line. Do whatever the Lord gives you to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Father God, I pray right now that I may decrease and that you may increase in me as I bring your word forth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I'm going to call this following his orders to resist the enemy. We're going to go to James chapter 4, and we're going to go through 1 through verse 8. From whence comes wars and fighting among you? They come not hence even of your lust that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and can't obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whatsoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says, in vain the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy, but in giveth more grace? Wherefore, he said, God, resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw not to God, and he will draw not to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you devil-minded. So the question is, how do we get the enemy to stop harassing us? God's word says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's James 4:7. But how do we resist the devil? The three words that I say before you, those say submit to God. Submit is a military term. It means to obey or to be subordinate or to a commander. You hear about soldiers getting charged with insubordination. That means they did not obey their commanding officer. We don't ever want to be charged with insubordination by God. We want to submit to him the way the soldier submits to his commanders, without question. When God was talking to the people, he was writing to us about their sins. He told them that their friendship with the world had made them enemies of God. They were asking for things from God but not receiving them because they asked with an entirely fleshless motive. James 4, 1 through 5. God wants to be first in our hearts and in their hearts. God wants to be first in our hearts. So when we do things that separate us from him in any way, our prayers do not get answered. We separate us. What separates us from God? Sin does. Worldliness does. Pride does. That's what we're talking about in James 4 and 6. These three accompany each other. But what can put a stop to all of these things in our lives? Humility can. So we're going to have to learn to be humble. So we're going to resist the enemy by rejecting pride. The cure for pride, worldliness, and sin is humility. This is the cure for many things. Humility comes by totally submitting ourselves to God. Submitting to God means humbling ourselves before him and declaring our utter dependence upon him. It means repenting of all pride. The enemy knows our weakness. That's why our every weakness must be submitted to God, so that his spirit can enable us to be strong in these areas. Do you ever wonder why we have seen too many Christian leaders fall into immorality? It's because they had areas in their lives that were not submitted to God, and the enemy could plant a lure in those places. So we got to ask ourselves, what doors do we have open? What do we need to close in order for us to really submit ourselves to God? What weaknesses do we want to turn over to God in this hour in order for us to get our prayers answered and seek God with a whole heart? The enemy and the person the enemy used could, first of all, be appealing to their pride. Someone flattered them, or they were puffed up by it. Pride is blinding. Their pride caused them to think that they were above the laws of God. And sometimes above the laws of men. When pride finds a home in anyone, that person becomes aligned with the enemy. They have pride in common, after all, and he will lead them where God never intended for them to go. So then when we look at that, are we in areas or places in our lives where where we're not aligned up with God, or are we in a place that we don't want to be, in a place full of unhappiness, or there's no peace and there's no joy, or we're in a place of lack, because what are we doing that is causing us to be out of alignment, I'm going to say misaligned with God's will and purposes for our lives? Because when you go into the word, it says that God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. God, he just said, you have not because you ask not. But did you ask with the right intent of the heart, or did we ask to fulfill our fleshly lust?
Come on.
Any unsubmitted area in our lives is dangerous. Whenever we don't submit to God in our lives, it is automatic invitation to the enemy.
Yeah.
That's why the first step to arresting the enemy is to submit to God in every way. We have to be completely grounded in the things of God. We must live on such a solid foundation that our lives will not be shaken. When the enemy comes to trap us in our own pride, we must resist the devil by resisting pride. The enemy sees he is wasting his time on us, and he will flee to someone else more receptive to his enticements. So we have to resist the devil. Always remember that we have to resist the devil, and he will flee. So when he comes in with those things that used to flatter us, those lusts of the flesh that we used to do, we have to resist them and stand firm. It doesn't matter how powerful the enemy comes to us. If we set ourselves to resist him, and this happens in our heart, the moment we make that decision, the enemy cannot prevail against us.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he said, the moment we make the decision in our heart. So we have to first make a decision that we will resist the devil. We have to make it up in our minds that we ain't doing this thing no more. We're not living the same ways no more. We're not going back to the same ways that we used to be when we were back in the day. We won't keep responding the same way that we used to respond. But we first have to submit to God. Submit to God. Only when we submit to God can we fully, successfully resist the devil. Trying to resist without first submitting to God is a losing battle. We cannot begin to resist him on our own without the power of God in us. Only then can we truly draw near to God, cleanse our hands, purify our hearts, grieve over our sins, and be mournful of our failures, cry out to God for forgiveness by confessing and repenting and humbling ourselves before the Lord, which means turn from your wicked ways. We're going to turn from what we used to do. When the Lord sees us bowing in humility before him, he lifts us up. He picks us up. He washes us off, and he loves us. He begins to mold us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That comes out of Luke 18 and 14. When we humble ourselves before God, he extends his grace to us. Oh, and I ask for grace and mercy every day. So, and it says we cannot resist the enemy successfully without God's grace. God has set himself to bring down the prideful. He has exalted the humble. His word says in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So submit to God by humbling yourself before him, and he, God, will lift you up. When we resist pride, we are resisting the enemy. When we draw close to God, he responds in kindness. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, which is James 4 and 8. Being double-minded means we waver back and forth. We don't know where we're going. We doing this, we doing that. We don't know if we're coming. We don't know if we're going. That is a state of confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. God said that he has come to give us a sound and powerful mind.
Amen.
It says, with one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom. We can never receive all God has for us when we do that. We must cleanse our desires so completely that we are grieved by any pride, sin, or worldliness we see in ourselves. Our full recognition of that will cause us to mourn. That's James 4 and 9. And that is a good thing. The proudest resist God, but God resists the proud. That's James 4 and 6. The last thing we need is to have God resist us. Oh, I don't want God to resist me. I would rather resist myself, resist my flesh, resist that food, fast, pray, whatever it has to be in order to get cleansed or to do right by God. I don't want God to ever resist me. It says wars and fighting come basically from rebellion against God. That's James 4, 1 and 2. This happens when we say what we want and don't care about what God wants. See, we was born in this world for somebody else. We were put here to help save other people, that we go through some of the things that we go through so that we can help other people not go through the same things that we went through. So if we strategically align our lives up with the work and the will of God, and we are humble and we submit to him, then he blesses us.
Amen.
All sin is lawlessness. All lawlessness is rebellion against God. The root of rebellion against God is pride. Pride causes people to go to war with God by being friends with God's enemy. Abraham, for instance, chose to be a friend of God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's in James 2 and 23. Abraham's nephew Lot chose to be a friend of the world. As a result, Abraham was blessed by God, and Lot ended up losing everything. Oh, I don't want to be in that boat. We must choose to be God's friend and never side with the enemy. This means caring more about what God thinks of us than what anyone else thinks, because nobody else has a heaven or hell to put you in. So if you abide by somebody else's opinion, what can they give you? God revives us when we are humble. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place, and with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's Isaiah 57 and 15. God dwells with us when we are humble before him. God hears our prayers. When we are humble, Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear. Now, that's Psalms 10 and 17. When we recognize our pride and respond to it with sorrow and repentance in our heart, we can be cleansed and renewed. Do not let the enemy tell you that submitting to God will cause you to miss out on some great worldly thing. Actually, the opposite is true. Submitting to the enemy will limit all God has for you. Submitting to God brings blessings far beyond what you can even imagine into your life. What you gain is far superior to anything the world has to offer. The enemy wants us to be separated from God, but he can only separate us if we listen to him instead of God's truth. When we submit to God and his ways, we will not align ourselves with evil. We all face the enemy's enticement to be prideful in one way or another in our lives. Prayer warriors are humble people. It is in their nature to love God and to care about others. They would suffer to think that they have grieved God and made the Holy Spirit yearn for them, like a parent grieving and yearning for a wayward son or daughter. But pride has crept into any one of us. We cannot ignore the possibility. That's why we pray frequently. That is why we resist the evil by staying humble before God. And that happens with every step of submission to God we take.
Amen.
Now, the next thing we need to do is resist the enemy by refusing fear. You are made up of spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is made up of your mind and your emotions, and this includes your will. Now, that's out of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. God wants all of these aspects of you submitted to him under his lordship. That means he wants your mind, he wants your emotions, and he wants your will. If the enemy has influenced any of these areas of yourself, you will find fear creeping into your soul. Fear increases in us when we have too much involvement with the world. God says, be in the world, but don't be of the world. If you suffer from fear, the enemy will seize the opportunity to feed you it in you until you are emotionally paralyzed. That's one of the reasons so many people are on medication. Their problems has fear as their root, fear of failure, fear of not living up to some standards, fear of their future, fear of judgment, fear of criticism, fear of man, fear of everything. This was me at one point in time. I was afraid to succeed, but the devil is a liar.
Amen.
Out of curiosity, I looked through a book on fears and phobias and was shocked to find that there are as numerous as the stars. There is a phobia for everything on this earth in the name of Jesus. No, Jesus. And there do these countless fears come from. They don't come from God. Fear is the work of the enemy in our lives. We become afraid when we listen to the voice of the enemy and not the voice of God. I am in no way critical of anyone who takes medicine, not the least. Take it when you need it. I have known people with different phobias, and these fears are very real to the person being tormented by them. I'm just saying God has freedom from fear, and his freedom is free. Before I came to the Lord, I was tormented with various fears, and every day of my life, mostly they were fears of what if. Yep, what if. What if fears? What if someone breaks in? What if I fail? What if they reject me? What if I'm in an accident? What if I have a deadly disease? I remember so well how awful it felt to be nearly paralyzed with fear. It was more than just fear. It was terror, and it was torment. It was a spirit of fear from the enemy. But once I came to the Lord, my depression and anxiety was so severe that I thought Christian counseling would from a gifted pastor's wife. She advised me to go into a three-day fast, and she fasted with me. And when it was over, she and another pastor wife prayed for me, and I was set free from fear, depression, and anxiety.
Amen.
I was also set free from, low self-esteem. I didn't think I was beautiful enough. I never thought I was good enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I couldn't do it. I couldn't add up. You know what I mean? But add up to whose standards, by whose beliefs. And on whose scale was I rating myself on by thinking that I wasn't good enough or not thinking that I wasn't pretty enough when God created us all beautiful in his own image? We were never meant to fit in because God designed us to stand out.
Come on.
Lord. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. And from that point on, I did not think about fear. It is gone, along with the depression and the anxiety. It was miraculous. My life was changed on then. I praise God for the power of love and a sound mind that he has given me. I was afraid to get out of this relationship. This marriage. I was afraid, what would people think about me? This is my second marriage. Oh, she chose the wrong man again. But you know what? I have learned they don't have a heaven and hell to put me in, and I won't stay in something that is created bondage in and over and through my life that is not of God, that was sent from the enemy. So I'm out of here. And I submit to God, and I listen to God. Now, that's not everybody's story. This is my story, and this is my testimony. And I will be greater on the other side of it because I tried, I submitted, I prayed, I fasted, I teach God about it, and it was nothing but turmoil, chaos, and terror, and witchcraft that came in. But not anymore because God has set me free, and those that are free is free indeed.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for setting me free. And God said, and Paul said that he lived, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So I press for the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:13-14. We must do the same. God will help you step out after your past and reach toward the future that he has for you. And fear will not be a part of that process. Fear is one of the enemy's weapons against us. Refuse to buy into it. Know God's truth so well that you don't allow the world to control your thoughts or determine the level of your peace, because God came to give us life, joy, peace, and life more abundantly. Do not permit yourself to be drawn into the many conflicts around you so that you are brought down by them. Refuse to allow the media to fill you with fear so they try to direct your thoughts and manipulate your doubts. Don't tolerate outside influences in this world distract you from what is happening in the spirit realm. Refuse to be overwhelmed because God is not overwhelmed. Resist all confusion and frustration. Thank God every day for the sound mind of clarity, for a sound thought process He has given you. There is only one procurer of fear and confusion, and you know who that is. So you got to ask yourself, do you want fear? Now we're going to resist the enemy by praying for miracles. When Peter was in prison, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church, which is in Acts 12 and 5. Many people were led by the Spirit to pray fervently for him. So when we're going through things, we need to tap into praying and asking people to pray for us. I was always at the pastor's house. I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord would tell me to drive to the pastor's house. And I would go and sit with the pastor and his wife. And I would say, okay, Lord, but it's like 5 o'clock. It's going to be 7 o'clock when I get there, Lord. Are you sure they want to be bothered with me, Lord? Are you sure they want to see me this morning? And then I would call when I would be on my way, and I say, I'm on my way, you know, and then they would feel the urgency in my spirit because they were strategically aligned up with the Lord. See, we all need somebody like that in our life that we can pour out to, and they can pour into us. So I'm very thankful for the man and the woman of God that God has placed in my life. I give honor to the man and the woman of God, because without them, where would I be, you know? When I was all over the place and my mind was running rampant and I didn't know what to do and how to feel, and I was always in a state of confusion, which was not of God, I had to go and get my thoughts aligned and my mind in order, and they would always pray me through. That's why I'm where I'm at today, because somebody prayed me through. So we have to ask ourselves, who's around us? We've got people in our lives that can pray us through situations and circumstances, that will stand there, that would intercede and stand in the way and stand in the gap, or somebody that can hear from God with clarity and know what God is saying in this hour. Those are the type of people that we need to connect ourselves with in this hour, not these false people out here that's wanting your money. Everybody don't want your money. So it says, while he was sleeping in the prison and bound by two chains between two soldiers and with the guards at the prison door, an angel of the Lord stood by him. And they light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and told him to get up, and his chains fell off of him, Acts 12 and 7. So how many of us is walking in bondage? We can't get to where we need to go because we got chains wrapped around our ankles. We got chains on our arms, and we got even a chain on our neck, or we're bound by something, you know, whether it's generational or whether it's something that we put ourselves in. God said that he could set us free. He could miraculously set us free. He said he struck Peter's side, and then the chains fell off of him, and he told him to get up. So what are we saying in bondage in that God wants to bring us out of in this hour? God wants to bring us out of everything so that we can be completely free, our minds free, our emotions free, our bodies free. We have to just submit to God. Submit to God. That's the key. It says the angel instructed Peter to put on his sandals and follow him. And not only did they walk right past the soldiers and the guards, but the iron gates automatically opened for them. God said that he would order our steps, and he would put us on the path for his name's sake, that he would bless the work of our hands, and he would order our steps. When they came to the house where the people were still praying, they couldn't even believe that it was Peter at the door. It was an even greater miracle than they thought that could happen. The fervent, unceasing, diligent prayers of believers brought Peter's miraculous deliverance out of the enemy's hands. While they were still praying, his chains fell off. The guards was put to sleep, and the iron gates opened up. Why? You never know how your prayers may set a captive free. This is why we pray without ceasing. This is why we submit ourselves to God, because there be some time that God will wake you up in the midnight hour, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and say, get up and pray now. And you don't know why you're praying, but you're praying, and you're interceding on the behalf of someone else, and you didn't know what they were going through, but you just prayed them through, and they got in a car wreck, and nothing happened, and they came out without a scratch, without a broken bone, and unscathed, only because you sent your prayer first. God said a prayer, and without distance. so we can send a prayer to Florida, and we can send a prayer to Texas, and we can send a prayer to Nevada, and I can send a prayer all across Washington State to pray for our family members. But I'm also praying for teachers and neighbors and those around me that I don't know, because you never know what they need. And those that don't have a personal relationship with God, I send my prayers down to them as well, because they are the ones who need a touch from God. And I'm asking God to take the heart of stone out of their chest and give them a heart of flesh, that they would want to open that door as God is knocking on the doorpost of their heart, that they would have a desire to want to get themselves right with God and before God. Oh, yes, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. It says, the Bible says, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, that's in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. God is always telling us to resist him. We have to resist him. We have to resist him. And you'll see what he does when we resist the devil. It says the enemy attacks and diseases believers all over the world every day, but we can resist his tactics, not only for ourselves, but for anyone, anywhere. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he instructed him to wage the good warfare. 1 Timothy 1 and 18. His word speaks to us that we can wage the good warfare as well, because the Holy Spirit gives us the weapons and the power that we need to do it. Now, our servants, as prayer warriors, as believers, is not to be dreaded or avoided. It is to be embraced. We have the Holy Spirit igniting power. We must not allow the enemy to tell us anything differently. We must follow God's orders to resist the enemy by praying for miracles until we sense the presence of the Lord with us, either making them happen or releasing us from the specific prayer burden.
Amen.
Pray that God will deliver us from the unbelief and increase our faith to believe for miracles. We want miracle signs and wonders that happen in and over and through our lives. Now, to resist the enemy by not giving up. We're never going to throw in the towel. Submitting to God means doing all he asks you to do. It means standing up for him. Resisting the enemy means not doing anything he wants you to do. It means standing against him in every and all things. If you are listening to the enemy's lies, then you are not standing strong against them. You got to cast those thoughts down. You got to send them back to where they came from. But you also have to replace it with the word of God.
Amen.
He recognizes when you resolve is weak, he also knows when it's impenetrable, and he is wasting his time with you. So he leaves bowing to come back in one of your weak moments. But when you resolve to stay dependent upon the Lord, his strength, then you are strong enough to avoid weak moments. Jesus said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18 and 1. Don't become discouraged and stop praying. The enemy wins that way. Don't worry about the hardships that you go through. They do not disqualify you from being a powerful prayer warrior or intercessor. You know, whatever God has called you to be, our light affliction, which is but a moment, is working for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. The enemy will try to discourage you in many different ways. He will tell you that your prayers have no power and you might as well give up praying altogether. Don't listen to him. Keep looking to God. We keep our eyes on the prize, and the prize is God. Jesus told a story about a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. That's in Luke 18 and 2. But there was a widow who kept coming to this judge to get justice regarding her adversary. The judge grew weary of her continually pleading with him and decided to help her. In response to this story, Jesus said, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears wrong with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Luke 18, 7 through 8. God says, entertain strangers. By doing so, you are entertaining angels, because you don't know if that stranger is a human or if it is an angel. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. It says the right time to stand fast in the Lord is always now, Philippians 4 and 1. Don't start a day or let a day go by in which you have not prayed to resist the devil and put on the armor of God. You have to know to stay committed to God in everything that you're doing. We're going to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from all every form of evil, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-23. With that being said, this is the end. Watch, stand fast in the faith, and be brave and be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. So I thank you for listening to me up on today. I hope you got something out of that message that we prayed about, resisting the devil, how he comes in, and how we apply God's word and how we apply God's message to our hearts. But we always have to remember to submit to God and stay humble. Thank you for your time up on today.
Amen. Amen. Great word. Great word. Amen. Hallelujah. Drawing close to God. That's what I was hearing, drawing close to God. One of the things I realized is that as you draw close to God, as you draw close to God, what happens is you're stepping into the glory, and the closer you get, the more glory you're stepping into. And so those things of the world have to fall off. They can't stand the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you find yourself stuck in a place, amen, look at what you are carrying. There's people in the background. If you can put your phone on mute, please.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
No problem. No problem. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So if you find yourself stuck in a place, look at how much of the world you are holding on to, you're not wanting to let go of. Because as you let go, it has to be replaced with something. Amen. So that was an excellent word. Excellent word. Babe, you have anything you would like to say?
Yes. I would just like to say, well, thank God for the message on tonight, woman of God. I would just like to say, we thank God for the message on tonight, woman of God. It was awesome, powerful messages, you know, and standing on the word of God and trusting God wholeheartedly and not giving in to the enemy. And so I just want to say thank you for coming forth on the line tonight to share the message that God gave you for his people on tonight. And I pray that each and every one receive something out of the message that was given, because we're living in these perilous times, and it's really time to give it all to God and turn everything over to God and just stand on his word and trust in him, not in some things, but in all things. We love you so much, and thank you for the mighty, powerful message that you came forth
amen.
With, daughter, on tonight.
Amen, amen, amen.
I love you guys, too, and thanks for having me. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to open up the line for anyone that has any questions or any comments or anything they would like to share pertaining to the message that had gone forth. The line is open, and please speak your mind. I mean, you know, we all family here, so just come forth. And, you know, bless the woman of God with whatever the Spirit of the Lord has placed upon your heart. Amen. So the line is open to anyone that would like to share.
Praise God. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Evangelist Melinda.
Amen.
That word was good. Praise God. And, you know, one thing about we got to sound his word, because the enemy is coming in like a flood. But the Lord said he'll live up the spirit of standard against him. I thank God for that word, because he didn't give us a spirit, you know, of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So the word was good today, and I'm in warfare myself. I mean, I got to continue to breathe the blood on this devil, because he's not playing with us, you know, and we cannot afford to play with him. You know, we must we must fight the good fight of faith, because God knows we are stand on faith, and that's just to live by faith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I just thank God for that. On the day, I'm not going to talk much, but I'm Evangelist Henry. I live down here by Seattle, and I seen Belinda. I met her over at the apartments, and she has been a blessing. She has spoken nothing but the word of God. And so I just thank God for her, you know, for just running into her. It wasn't no accident, because what God do, it ain't never no accident. He ordains our steps and order our steps. He ordered our steps. You know, good man's steps is ordered by the Lord. Praise God. And so I just thank God, you know, I've been blessed. I was feeling a little upset about some things, and I was coming down here to Walmart, and God told me to turn my phone on. You know, and I know he was directing my path, because that's what he does. You know, he directs your path. And I turned it on, and there she was. I went, well, I don't see what she got to say, because I know it's something good, praise God, from the word of God. So I really appreciate that word, and I want to live by it, is what we need to be doing. As James said, we need to be a doer of the word. So I just thank God. I praise him on the day, because that has made my day. Better. May we have a better day.
Amen. Amen.
God bless everyone.
Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Yes.
Thank you.
Amen. God, God.
Can
always...
I ask a question, though? Can I just want to know the pastor? Is this a pastor on here?
Yes, it's Pastor Baxter and my wife. Yes.
Praise God. Okay, where's your, well, maybe it's for you. I mean, where's your ministry?
Right now, we're streaming, but we are actually, as the pandemic is going into stage three, and they're opening everything up 100%, we're actually looking at a conference room in which we're going to be renting out until we can build enough to get our own location.
It's a matter of praise God, along with God's people, and standing in his word and obeying him. That's what matters. But okay, well,
Sister Melinda will have all the finite detail as we go through the process of moving from one building to another. She will know exactly what's going on.
So okay, and I'll be talking to her.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
I'll be talking to Evangelist Melinda. All right,
amen.
God bless you. I'm going to have to
God
take care of this woman and sign off. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you as well. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else that would like to share pertaining to the word that has gone forth by Minister Melinda, and are any comments?
She don't do it. You have to do it. Why are you here?
Okay. Does somebody have their phone on? If you could put your phone on mute, whoever's speaking.
That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hello, hello. Whoever that is that has their phone on, can you mute yourself, please?
You just told me 15 minutes ago.
I don't know who that is. I'm gonna find out though.
Hello.
Yes. Yes.
Hi, blessings to you, Apostle, and to your wife. I just have a comment for Minister Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wanted to say, my name is Brianna McCorkle, and I know she knows me personally, and I just wanted to say that it was an awesome reminder, and it was a beautiful outpouring of the fire and wisdom that she blessed me with tonight, and also being able to hear her testimony of what she was going through as far as marital, you know. I love you, Melinda, and you are such an inspiration to me. And I just wanted to say you always bring the fire, and you're such a blessing to me.
Thank you so much. Oh, I miss you guys. You guys moved away. But thank you for being on the line with me tonight, and thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Love you so much.
I love you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Sounds like some individuals came on that weren't expected. That's a good thing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything or a comment pertaining to the word that had gone forth on today? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to go over the announcements once again, since we have a lot more people on the line. Hallelujah. Tomorrow we'll be handing out food here in the SeaTac area on 208th and International Boulevard, better known as Pacific Highway. Amen. Come on down. We'll have USDA boxes plus a lot of other nutritious food to give out to those in need. Now, if you don't need food, I'm quite sure you know someone who does. So come on down, pick up some food, and be a blessing to someone as the Lord has been a blessing to us. We want to pass that on. And then on Mondays, we will be over on Rainier and Kenyon, a block off of Kenyon, at the Emerald City Bible Fellowship Church. We will be giving out food there from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And tomorrow will be from 11:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. And Tuesdays, we will be giving out food on MLK and Alaska. Amen. And that we will be giving out from 11:30 until 2 p.m. as well. So these are three locations in three different areas of King County that we will be giving out food. So again, if you know anyone that is in need of food, come pick it up for them. And if that is you that's in need of food, come on down. Please don't allow pride to get in the way. We all need something. And we just are grateful that God has given us the bounty to be able to fill this need of those that are in need of food. Now, on Wednesdays, we have our Kingdom Encounter Leadership class where we go through the Bible. We skip around to different topics depending on how the Spirit wants to move and what he gives for that day. Amen. And as you know, Friday we have beta mentoring. And soon we will be moving into a building to where we will be having services once again on Fridays. So there will be some alterations and things, but until then, join us here at 6 p.m. on Beta Prophetic Mentoring Conference Line. Amen. Hallelujah. Babe, you have anything you want to share before we close out?
I do not. I just want to thank each and every individual for coming on tonight, joining us for Beta Mentoring. And again, thank you so much, Melinda, for coming forth on tonight, letting the Lord use you mightily.
Amen, amen. And I would just like to second that. You know, you did a fabulous job. I could tell when the Spirit of the Lord kicked in, you just went into overdrive and things just took off. Amen. You did a fantastic job. God bless you. And I just want to pray, hallelujah, that the Spirit of the Lord will refill you as you have poured out, hallelujah, pour back in an abundance of your anointing into her, Lord, and let not no weapon form prosper, that there will be no backlash from the word that has gone forth, hallelujah, and that your angels, Father God of peace, may surround her, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus, her and her children. Glory be to God, Father. So we thank you. We also thank you, Father God, for each and every person that is tuned in, even those that will be listening here on podcast in the future, Lord God. Bless them. And as I said in the beginning, Lord, allow your anointing to be stamped upon this recording, Father God, that those that listen to it days, weeks, years from now will feel the move of your spirit, hallelujah, and will transform their minds. In the mighty name of Jesus, as we separate from one another, but never your sight, Father God, allow us to walk by faith and not by sight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen and amen. We thank God for each and every person, and y'all have a fantastic evening, and we shall see you sooner than later. Be blessed.
God bless you.